Well, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, 24, 25. I think this is, I never get tired. And, you know, when we talk about Brother Hagin, even in this application, when he talked about receiving something by faith. What is faith? Faith is calling those things that be not as though they were. And one of the things that excites me is when we had somebody from Rhema come a couple of years ago teaching on prayer and the Holy Spirit. A lot of times that's a big void in people's life. You know, they read the scripture and it says the Holy Spirit's been sent to help us, to lead us. And a lot of people, most, will say, he don't talk to me. He don't lead me. And you may even be thinking that. But how does one become more in tune with the Holy Spirit and his direction? You speak it by faith. And that's how one becomes more sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and his working in your life, which is exactly what this lady shared. She said that she had been saying, she'd been sitting under Brother Hagin's teaching when he was alive, and he was sharing some things, and she's sitting there going, you know, just clicking her teeth and saying, man, he don't talk to me like that. I wish he talked to me like that. And she said, I was just being snotty. I was just being a snotty young kid sitting in this Bible lesson thinking, he don't talk to me. I wish he would talk to me. He doesn't talk to me. And she was going on and on and on. And the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, are you calling me a liar? She said, well, no, but you don't. He said, are you calling me a liar? No. So she began to see in the Word of God where it says he's been sent in John to be our helper and to be our comforter and our guide. And if you're not as sensitive to that, or you don't feel he's speaking to you or giving you direction, then you need to do what? Say, I thank you, Lord, that he is in me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live in me. I thank you that you direct me. You're more real to me than this place that I'm standing in. You are real to me. You know, I've gotten in the habit of saying that. When I get up, I just say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for leading me today. Thank you for guiding me today. I thank you. I may not feel you. I may not see you, but you're real. You live in me. You know, if you're in a relationship, you don't just ignore your spouse. You may not see them. You may say, hey, honey, how you doing? Or you know they're present, you don't ignore them. And that's the same way. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's alive, and he's in me, and he's in you. And we need not go about our life like he's just tagging along. No, he's in you. And he desires to lead and guide us. He desires to reveal the Word of God to us and to lead us into not just all truth, but into success in everything we do. And we can do that if we give him space to lead us. And we need to just acknowledge his presence, acknowledge that he's here, acknowledge that he is leading me today and that you're real to me. And you may have to do that by faith for a while. I know this lady said she had to do it for a couple of weeks. She just began to say it every day, every day, every day. I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're leading me. I thank you that you're so real to me. She would just say that over and over, and you're real to me. And then she said he began to really make himself known in a more demonstrative, tangible way to her. See, and he wants to do that with all of us. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Because we're born again, he lives in us. So this here, it says, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed. See, we were all conceived and born from a corruptible seed. But we were born again. What was born again? Your spirit, the real you, was born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, you could say, seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I like this. There's some the modern translations, you know, just, you know, presented different. The Message translation said, your life is not like your old life. Thank God. Mine was a mess. Anyways, your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Thank you. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. This is the Phillips translation. For you are the sons of God now. The live, permanent word of the living God has given you his own indestructible heredity. You know, that got me off on a rabbit trail last night, very late. I'm thinking, oh, heredity. And it got me to thinking about all of the scriptures when we talk about that, that this says here, God has given us his own indestructible heredity. Oh, my goodness. Just think about what that means in the natural. When you're an heir of someone, that means you are an heir. Typically, they're blood heirs and they're non-blood heirs. You know, but typically an heir means you are a blood line, your blood relationship. Oh, we are sons and daughters of God through what? The blood of Jesus. That means, and when you look at the scriptures, let me read some of these. Romans 8, 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit itself or himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what this is saying. We're children of God. And this goes on and it says, and if children, then heirs. We're an heir of God. And it said, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Here's another in Galatians 4. 6 and 7, Galatians 4, 6 and 7. And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore, or you could say therefore, thou art no more what? A servant, but a son. And if a son, then a what? An heir of God through Christ. So that means everything that was purchased by Christ is mine. I don't have to beg God. I don't have to whine. I just have to take it. I'm an heir of God. Glory to God. What is a testament? It's a will. This New Testament is the will of God. Hallelujah. And I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. So we need to do what? Take what's mine. Take what's rightfully mine. Hallelujah. Let me just read one more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, "And what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" Verse 20. "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'm purchased of God, so I'm no longer my own. I'm to do what? It says, glorify him in my body and in my spirit. So let me just, I'm just going to read here 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7 and 8. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. So when we talk about seed and something to be planted, Paul wrote this to the church of Corinth in chapter 3 and verse 6. He said, "I have planted," what did he plant? He planted the word of God. He planted seed. He said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, and God," he said, "but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that give the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry." Most, we don't talk like that anymore. That's old English. But husbandry, if you look at some of the newer translations, it just says garden or field. And if you look at the scriptures, it talks about God being the husbandman. He's the farmer. So we're the field. What's the field? My spirit's the field or the garden. That's where the word of God is to be planted and watered, and then the increase comes from the heart. That's where faith comes from. So we're the field to be planted. Now, I want to look, I'm not going to look at this particular scriptures that we've been looking at, but let's go over to Mark. Well, no, let's go to Luke chapter 8. And let's look at verse 4, starting in verse 4. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And this is the parable of the sower, and then he reveals or unloads that or unpacks it to his disciples further on in that scriptures. But starting in verse 4, he said, when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was what? Trodden down. Or the New Living Translation says stepped on. And the fowls of the air devoured it. This word trodden down means to reject with disdain. That means that you count it, you know, the word disdain means you snub something. You know, you don't, you disrespect it is really what you're doing. So this says here, some fell by the wayside, and it was what? It was disrespected. It was trodden down is the term that was used. And it says in verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it did what? It lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. In verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. The seed, this is what he's talking about. The seed, all that he's been sowing here, is what? So now he's saying the seed is the word of God. And it goes on, those by the wayside, verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root which for a while and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares, worry, you could say, and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. See, it didn't say they didn't bring fruit. It said it didn't come to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having done what? Heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So you can see these four different types of grounds and how some was rejected or disrespected. And you can see that today. You know, people, whether they're sinner or saint, you know, you could be sitting in church. You know, I always like to use this example. Just because you call yourself a car, don't make you a car. You can park, you can go in the garage and stand there and say, I'm a car, I'm a car, I'm a car. It doesn't make you a car. You can come to church and sit in the pew week after week after week, say you're a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. Gets quiet when you say that. But a Christian is someone who does what? This is what it says here. Good ground. Good ground is what? Are they which in an honest and good heart done what? Having heard the word. So you didn't disrespect it. You didn't trodden it down. It says you've heard the word and you keep it and you bring forth fruit with patience. You know, I just look at this, you know, that when you start a journey as a Christian, you know, I look back on my life, I made a whole lot of mistakes, but I kept coming to church. I kept being corrected by God, you know, and letting him say to me, stop doing that. Don't live that way anymore. Don't do this. Don't do this anymore. And God is a good God. He encourages you. He nudges you along. But we've got to stick with watering because it's what? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So if we stick with this Christian walk, even though we're stumbling along the way, you've got the Holy Spirit to help you. You've got the Word of God to enlighten you. And we've got God giving us the increase, we can overcome. So this here, I like this verse 15. So what is good ground? What makes good ground? Good ground. And it said here, an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And I'm just going to just briefly read here some of the modern translations. I like this. This is God's Word translation, more of a modern translation. It said, the seeds that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word, but they keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. That's the whole key. No matter what life may come my way, I'm going to go to God first. I'm going to look for his help. I'm going to ask him for his help. And I'm going to endeavor to obey the word of God. And I like the Message translation said, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on, no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. I like that. You know, if you're, you know, you listen to people who have a heart, God put something in their heart to do something. You know, you look at the life of Abraham Lincoln, you look at others that have gone through trials and tribulations, they stuck with it until they saw what they had in their heart. You see. You look at, I'm thinking of one person, he was a motivational speaker, and he, you know, the people that we know in life, you know, you could pull, I'm sure there's a number of them that we could pull out and share now that went through life failure after failure after failure after failure after failure, but they had something in their heart that said, no, you're going to do this. And no matter the failure, they kept sticking with it. And that's the way we are. We have to be so convinced of God's word that God didn't lie to me. I may have missed it, but he didn't lie. And so I'm going to stick with God's word until I see the results. That's what he's saying here. So the word of God will work. There's nothing wrong with the seed. So now let's go over to Mark chapter 4 and let's look at verse 30 and 31. Mark chapter 4. And let's look at these talking about the seed of God's word. And it says here in verse 30 and Mark, he said, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And when it is sown, what does it do? It groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So he expects the seed to grow. This is Jesus speaking. The seed that's planted is expected to grow and grow up into something, as this says here, it's expected to grow up and be a tree. You know, I heard somebody say this a long time ago, it's easier to squash an acorn than it is a tree, which is true. And so, you know, when you go through life, if you just stick with it, and keep sticking with it, you'll grow in faith. And it'll be harder to get you off track. You know, that's the whole key. You know, your adversary, the devil, will try to throw up circumstances to get you discouraged in life and just go, nah, I tried that, this don't work. And get you to do what? Doubt the word of God. Because he knows the word of God will produce. He knows that. Let's go over to Matthew 17 and verse 14. Matthew 17 You know, when you look at this particular I'm thinking, you know, when Jesus, I'll just make this comment, you don't have to turn there, but just before he started this parable in the Gospel of Mark, he said, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So this parable is really key. Matthew 17, and when they were come down to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall do what? You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, what's interesting about this is that when the disciples came apart and said, why can't we do this? Just think about this for a moment. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. And it's interesting that the disciples would even ask this question. Look at this. Look at the point here. In Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 1, it says, and when he had called unto him, who? His 12 disciples, he gave them what? Power. That word there, power, is the word authority. He gave them authority against unclean spirits. The one that they're asking, how come we couldn't cast this one out? He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to do what? And to heal, not some, this says all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And he goes down the list and lists all 12 disciples, of whom was Judas Iscariot. So now you understand, when they come back to Jesus and go, well, the man goes, well, look, I brought my son to them. They couldn't do a thing. And they're complaining, saying, we couldn't do anything, Jesus. How come? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and do what? Be thou cast into the sea, and it would what? And it said, remove to yonder place, and it would remove. So they had the authority to cast the devil out of this young boy. They had the authority. But they needed to do what? Say so. And think about this. You know, I always sidetrack here for a moment. Every one of us sitting in this room, if you're a Christian, have been given God's authority over circumstances in life. So when you go, well, how come I can't do that? We sound sometimes just like the disciples. And you might say, well, show me that. Okay, jump over to Matthew. Look at Matthew 28. You can keep your finger in Matthew 17, but go to Matthew 28. What does it say? And this is before he's before he ascended into heaven. And Jesus came in verse 18 of chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, Because now this says the 11 disciples. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, he's conferring this power and authority to them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And of course, we could go to Mark 16. They're going to shut the power off. Okay, well, we'll go until they do. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you can see that even in Mark 16, he said, I've given you power and dominion, cast out demons, lay hands on the sick. So all of us have been given dominion and authority here in the earth, and it's been conferred upon us. So you need not walk in this life afraid of circumstances, afraid of the devil, afraid of circumstances in your life, afraid of sickness and disease. You've been given dominion over it because he said, all power has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all men. So we've been given dominion and authority here in this earth, not the devil. And so here in this, you can go over to Luke 17. And let me just, this is the complement to this in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 17 and verse 5. And here, similar statement here, verse 5, it says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. See, they thought they needed more faith. And what did Jesus' response? And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Some of the other modern translations, the complete Jewish Bible, it says, the Lord replied, if you had trust as tiny as a mustard seed, you could say to this fig tree, be uprooted and be replanted in the sea. And the Passion Translation, it said, if you have even the smallest measure of authentic faith, it would be powerful enough to say to this large tree, my faith will pull you up by the roots and throw you into the sea, and it will respond to your faith and obey you. This is what faith is. Faith speaks. Faith pronounces what it believes. What do I believe? I believe God's word. And this is what Jesus is saying. He conferred upon them power and authority. They needed to do what? Believe that and speak it. I mean, just hold your finger there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and what? And therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So that means we who believe must speak. Have you ever thought it says we're made in the image and likeness of God? He believed, and he did what? He said, let there be light. He spoke things into existence. No, we're not creating worlds, but we are creating something when we speak. Our words have creative power. That's what this is saying here. In essence, he said, if you had faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this fig tree, be thou removed. That has power. That has creative power. And it also has power to change something, you could say. Right? That's what this is doing. So for us, we need to, and I'll just wrap this up here, so you can see Jesus reveals two truths here. Faith is as a seed, or it works as a seed. Faith is as a seed, or it works as a seed. What does that mean? It needs to be planted, it needs to be watered, and it needs, and then it'll sprout up and grow. So is our faith like that. And you plant it by speaking it. You plant words in your heart by speaking them. Saying it is involved in planting it. It's not just going to happen by doing what? Think about this. Faith comes by what? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith will come into our hearts through the word of God, but at some point, faith speaks what it believes. Faith will ultimately say what it believes. It will speak what it believes. And everybody, just in the natural, the more you listen to something, that's why people who are in marketing, they know this. You keep flooding the airwaves, you keep flooding the radio, you keep flooding stuff. People read it, they listen to it, and eventually they'll go, I got to get me one of those. I got to get me a hot dog, ice cream, I got to get these shoes, this shirt, I got to buy this car. They know that if they keep influencing you, you will eventually do what? Believe you need it. And then what do? You say, I got to get it. Right? So that principle is that principle. Faith comes by hearing, but at some point, you act upon what you believe. And acting upon what you believe, you do what? You're either going to say something or you're going to move and do something. So that is faith. And that's what Jesus said. If you had faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this tree, unto this obstacle, be thou removed. And that's what Jesus is saying to us here in this parable of the sower, that faith needs to be planted, it needs to be watered, God gives the increase, but when it comes to faith being planted, we can't just keep what, we're going to have to do what? Say something. We're going to have to say what we're planting, what we're believing. We're going to have to say something. You're not going to get away with just saying, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. You're going to have to say something. At some point, you will act on what you believe. If you hear something long enough, you will act on what you believe, good or bad. You will. And that's why it's so important. And the devil knows this. That's why I always say, when Jesus said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways, and then he went on to talk about how the rain comes down from heaven, returns not thither, but watereth the earth, and it produces seed for the sower, and so forth. And he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish whereunto I sent it. So his word will not return unto him void. It will produce. The word will produce. The seed will produce. I don't care what we're walking through in life. You may be walking through symptoms. That doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor. That doesn't mean you don't get the help you need. But you keep the seed, keep getting it in your spirit. Keep getting it in your spirit. It may take months. It could take years. But bodies have to change and circumstances have to change because of the word. It has to change. Circumstances have to change. What does it say? Oh, boy. Let's go over here for a second. I believe, where is it? It's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were just there in verse 13. Look at verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17, 18. It says, for our what? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we what? Look not at what? At the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. And the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. What we walk through in life is temporal. But if we keep getting the eternal word of God in our spirits, faith will come, and then we're to do what? We which have believed, therefore do speak. And that's what Jesus was saying. If you had faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this what? This mountain or this obstacle, get out of my way. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen, amen.